The scripture for today comes from Luke 12, 13 through 21. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops?" Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. We threw something a little extra in at you. We're so glad that you are all here today, because we know that school has started or is starting, and so some people like to get that last minute vacation, because when school rolls around, if we have kids or if we are employed by the schools, our time is being taken up by all of those responsibilities. I know the kids are probably disappointed in school. Maybe they're not. Some really like school. I, however, was one of those that never wanted school to start back. Granted, I was also one of those who did not do well in school because I would lose my homework. Or I just wouldn't do it. As someone told me when I was walking around on Wednesdays in high school here, I'd have my book bag on saying, "Okay, I got a test to study for," but never would crack open a book. I just thought I was going to absorb all of the information in the book from wearing the book bag. And that's why I was one of those students that needed the extra credit. Now, the extra credit helped me so that I could get the grades that my parents wanted me to. And as we were thinking about school starting, the pastors decided that this would be a great time to have a sermon series about extra credit so that we could talk about the points that we all need, the extra credit that we need so that we can grow closer to God, so that we can understand God's will better. And so one particular instance in seminary, there was a workshop that they required everyone to go to. And so, being the rule follower that I was, even though it wasn't for a grade, I went. And it was about retirement. Now, let's paint this picture a little bit. I'm a 22-year-old student who is working on his master's and has never had a full-time job up to this point, and who hopes to have a long career. And I'm sitting in this workshop wondering, why are they talking to me about retirement? I have at least 40 years till that time comes. Well, there was a lot of reasons for that. But it's interesting because we hear about our seminaries and our different workshops that we try to give our young people before they start the workforce about saving for retirement. And then we go to this parable today. We go to this parable that is talking about a man who was saving for when the retirement age comes, where he can no longer plant the crops in order that he has enough so that he can sustain himself. So why is it that we're educating our younger individuals on retirement, but yet here in our parable, God's getting on to this man? He's getting on to this man about about saving for the time to come. And there's a couple of verses in this scripture that I think point to where the disconnect is. And it's verses 17 through 16. What should I do, for I have no place for my crops? I will do this. I will pull down my barns and larger ones, and there I will store all my grains and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid for you for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. This gentleman who is trying to save for the future, in the way he speaks of his saving, you can tell he is so much worried about one person. Only one person. We can see that because of how this individual in this parable that Jesus says, I will do for me. I will do and save mine. All of our wording here shows that this individual in the parable is just worried about himself. Just worried about what he can do so that he is okay. So that he does not have to worry for himself. Now, the previous weeks we have gone through Luke, and I don't know how many of you have picked up on it, but Luke, in his whole book, has two major themes, and we've touched on both of them. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor. So in knowing those two themes that Luke is trying to share throughout his book, and looking at this parable where this gentleman says, what should I do with my stuff for me? That's why Jesus is sharing this parable right now, because we had a gentleman who is worried about inheritance. We have a gentleman who is worried about his brother splitting the inheritance with him. As individuals, we have a tendency to let material objects control us. Whether that be money and our inheritance, like the man in the beginning of our scripture, or there are a lot of other material objects that take us away, that we're concerned with having the new and the best because that's what I want for myself. Examples are clothes. Sometimes anytime a clothing company comes out with a new seasonal outfits, we're the first ones at the store. Tennis shoes. Anytime there's a new version of a particular shoe we like, there are people who are lined up at the door. Technology. I have friends who are at the Apple store. Every year a new iPhone comes out. And in each of these moments, whether it is our greed about money and worrying about us, or getting the new phone, the new clothing line, whatever it is, materialize, it's taking away from God. We're focused on what we want and what we think is best for us. We're internally looking at life. And we're slowly separating ourselves from what God's will is, what we can do for our community, what we can do for our town, what we can do for our faith journey with God. See, the parable is showing all of these I statements, which I statements can be great, but those I statements have to turn into, I'm going to do such and such, so that we as a community can fix or meet this need. Fill in the blank. So I, as an individual, want to help and give my time and give my resources in order that no one in the town of Alabaster, Alabama is ever hungry. And you can interchange the action that you do to meet the need. And that need can be the ones that you recognize. See, we're going from all these I statements and all this worry about material things and only worrying about us and all of our actions to seeing what I can do for our community. What we can do as a community to meet whatever need we see. We're moving from I to we. We're listening to where God is calling us as individuals, and we're figuring out within our community, whether that be within our church community, whether that be within our surrounding areas of Shelby County community, or whether that is inside of your workplace. Maybe it's inside of your bunco group. Whatever community you relate with, that you consider your community, how can you, the I that we so often talk about, not worry about what we can do for us, but rather what the I can do in the community, with the community, for the community? Because if we do that, we're listening to where God is taking us, we're putting God first, and we're loving our neighbor. We're not worried about what I can do for me. We're not worried about making sure I have the newest phone on the market. We're taking the resources that we are able to give back. Now, I'm not by any way saying that saving for retirement is not a great thing, because I have learned that it very much is. We do have and need resources for our way of living, because nothing is free. But in the moments where we are blessed abundantly, how can we use our resources, our time, our efforts, our money, our service? How can we use our resources as we're able so that it's not just about I, but it's about us? It's about we. How can we see the need in the community? Because when we become so materialistic, when we become so concerned about I, we miss out on the needs of others. We miss out on the fact that our neighbor down the street, maybe a single mother or father who has three kids and just needs a little help transporting her or his child. Even though they are our best friends, we are great neighbors, but because we're concerned about I, we miss the need of our neighbors. That's what Jesus is trying to convey to this gentleman who's worried about inheritance, because the reason he is so worried about his inheritance is because it is about him and nothing else. What Jesus is saying through this parable is that it's not about I, It's not about I completely, you completely. It's about us. It's about where my will takes you. It's about how we, as a community, can meet the needs of those right next to us. So let our motives not be about I. Let us move from that I that we're so worried about, those material items that make it where we're only concerned about what we have. But rather, what can I do to meet the needs of my community? What can I do so that we as a community can meet the needs of those who are searching? How can we move from I to we, to community, to meet the needs of those who are searching? Moving from I, worried about, am I going to have enough money for retirement, as it says in this parable? Am I so concerned about having this very decorative lawn item, even though I have 20 others that are already standing? Or can I use my time to help someone else? How can we use all of our resources so that we're meeting the needs of our community and we're not only worried about I? So that, because by loving God first and loving our neighbor, we're not able to look at I. Rather, we look at us. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, we come to you today thankful for your love, thankful for your presence, and we just ask for your forgiveness. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness and that we have not loved you with our whole heart, that we have put money and greed, that we have put cell phones, clothes, shoes, all in front of you. Lord, help us so that we as your people can move from worrying about I to meeting the needs of our community. To take I into meeting the needs of our community in whatever way we can. Lord, we just thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.